Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this week's investment review from January the 25th, 2023. Pretty active week in the markets. We'll go ahead and get started with the major asset class review, as well as take a brief look at the action that transpired within Dolly. First, taking a look at the performance of the indexes we follow on the video. Generally speaking, most U.S. equity indexes were in positive territory, the lone exception being the Dow Jones Industrial Average. We did see the NASDAQ 100 lead the way to the upside, up 2.5%. Also saw emerging markets extend further into overbought territory, along with the EFA doing the same, as they were also in positive territory performance-wise over the past week. Taking a look at a couple of charts this morning. First, the chart of the S&P 500. We did see it move back into a positive trend with action following Monday there at 4,020, with today's action versus down into a column of those here at 3,960. Still have solid support here at 3,900 as well as 3,880, which is now where the bullish support line lies. From here, still looking at resistance for 4,100. And that story will be pretty common for many of the U.S. equity indexes that we take a look at, as even looking at the NASDAQ 100 moving back into a positive trend, also following Monday's action and now reversing down into a column of those with today's action, still has resistance here at 12,100. And additionally for the NASDAQ 100, further resistance here at 12,700. So still a pretty common theme for a lot of U.S. equity indexes. Have seen some positive action, seeing them pull back today, but still looking more intermediate term to many of the overhead resistance levels that we continue to monitor. From the indicator standpoint, we've seen some decent action out of the indicators. One that we saw this week was the multiple BP for the NYSE. This measures the percentage of stocks on the NYSE giving consecutive point and figure buy signals, and it reversed up following Monday's action, suggesting roughly one out of every five of the stocks on the NYSE right now are giving consecutive point and figure buy signals on their chart. From here, we look to see if we're able to beat that prior rally or move higher here at 26% that we saw back in December. Additionally, saw some further follow through from the index positive trend indicators last week. We talked about the PT for NYSE moving back into a column of X's. This week, we see the PT for SPX moving back into a column of X's following Monday's action, continuing higher yesterday up above that 66% level. From here, looking for that 70% level, see if we're able to move above the prior move that we saw in December and also hit a higher level for the highest level really that we've seen since February of last year. So continue to monitor those for the indicators. Within Dolly, didn't see a whole lot of change. The one thing we really saw action out of was within domestic equities, continuing to see some sectors jockeying around as consumer non-cyclical fell down to the fourth position this week. Saw a pretty decent pickup by technology this week as well, but really need to see further improvement out of these laggard groups, which we've seen some positive action out of, but really haven't seen that relative strength story follow through just yet. On the fixed income level, continue to see jockeying through many of the fixed income level rankings. We now see long duration treasuries and short duration treasuries near the bottom here, as U.S. preferreds and convertibles have shifted up near the top, moving into the second position. But for more on asset classes, we'll go ahead and pass it on over to Steve.
Thank you, David. You know, as we really do our last weekly call for January, let's move into some of the things that have been going on, because what a January it has been. The money market percentile rank continues to head south down into, you know, somewhat normal yearly levels. Below the 20th percentile line, the core percentile rank hangs in near 80, you know, kind of a confident position, not too strong, but certainly not too weak. The intermediate bullish percent moves up above 70 and really strikes some new ground. You know, if you kind of look at the average 1 year roll, you know, we're really improving here. With 72% of all equity funds are all around the world on that point and figure buy signal on their intermediate chart. So really good progress. January, very helpful to that progress. As we take a look at the asset classes that now score above the three line, we have a whopping 58%, a big jump, even from last week. Certainly the highest level of participating groups above three that we can, you know, that we've seen in certainly a rolling year. It's quite incredible. Among those, a lot of leadership in score. You see them here. Many of these groups are pegging at relative high scores that we've seen in several years, including this all value funds. It's probably the best score I've seen out of this all value fund collection since 2019. So maybe we could say that's 5 years. I want to draw some attention to this comparison, which is really all U.S. equity diversified, all international, and then the average of all equity funds, which is the black line in the middle. And we just have a sizzling January, really lifting any boat that can be lifted. All these scores are posting above the three. The international is the most accelerating of them, but they're all winding up in the same spot. So you really have a pretty big move in the average equity fund. As we take a look at the overbought nature of that average equity fund, it's still rather modest. My observations over the years is when all equity funds get to 100-110%, that's pushing it pretty good. But I think that even with this race of January, the average overboughtness across the board is quite modest. As we take a look at the value and growth paradigm, I just got done mentioning all value funds had a great new high score. With that said, the growth funds have really come alive here in the January effect, closing actually the margin of superiority of value over growth. So, still a tug of war in there with everything doing well and value still technically obviously the high score leader. As we take a look at the ranked asset classes and their risks, we are equivalent this week over last week. Some groups have weakened, some groups have strengthened, but it's a positive calculation, meaning that it's saying to move out the risk curve and maintain holding higher risk. And we'll continue to look at that as we move into February. I want to say a big boost in the moving average combinations over this week and certainly over this month. I mean, we've moved up in January on this 50 over 200-day moving average for equity, a big, big boost here. So 60% of any equity fund around the world with a positive mathematical moving average trend. Incredible. I want to make a final point. We've really moved up through some of the heavy resistance that we faced over a rolling year by the S&P 500. Here you're looking at the futures chart and still fighting battles in here, as we suspected we would. But we're winning some of those battles, and you want to keep an eye on this as a big positive. Underneath the surface, the positive trends for all equity funds have had a big 5% jump up through this week. So now we can say 73% of any equity fund around the world is now in a positive trend. Big difference from, let's say, last April, at a low of about 20%. So a lot of things still going on, as we are about ready to cross into the February timeframe. But for more on momentum and how the dollar is faring, let's move over to John.
Great. Thanks a lot, Steve. So looking at what's going on in momentum, that January effect is still happening. And Steve just alluded to that with kind of that growth value comparison, and growth is closed up some of the gap between growth and value. And we're seeing that across the board in the momentum space as well. We've had the laggards really have a pretty decent month so far in January. A lot of that good performance is coming out of the technology space, consumer discretionary, and also communication services. Although, we do have a lot of earnings coming up in this week and next week. So we'll see if that continues and some of those laggards kind of move into more leadership positions. Across the globe, the January effect has not been as pronounced as it has been domestically, but it hasn't been a great month for momentum in January for either developed or emerging markets as well. Now, moving over to the U.S. dollar, that does continue in a downtrend. We've been talking about that for quite a while. One interesting thing to note on this chart of the DXY, it's really nowhere close to getting to the bottom of the trading band. So there is still room to move lower, even though we've had a lot of pressure on the dollar over the last 6 to 8 weeks. And I think that pressure, we could still see that. It's certainly not by any means technically oversold right now. So I think there is room to the downside. And for more on currencies, we'll turn it over to Miles.
Thanks, John. Yeah, it was a productive week over the last 7 days for the crypto space, seeing more coins return to buy signals, more coins returning into positive trends. From a performance perspective, we saw all of the coins of the NASDAQ crypto index, ticker NCI, outperform the S&P 500 over the last 7 days. Leading the way to the upside was Axie Infinity, finding itself up over 50% in the last 7 days, and crypto heavyweights, Bitcoin and Ethereum, were up modestly, up around 3.5% and 6% each, respectively. So constructive action, broadly speaking, is positive for the industry. They are different than other rallies, notably we saw in 2022, when we just saw, notable isolated leadership from one coin or another. So with that said, we continue to see some positive developments for the broad space, maybe considering dollar cost averaging into stronger names like Litecoin or Ethereum on a pullback into more localized levels. Moving over into the returns table, brought this up as a yearly review or year-end review at the beginning of the month. Wanted to do a follow-up here. We all know that cryptocurrencies, especially Bitcoin, had a poor 2022, down 64%, its worst year since 2018, which we highlighted on the chart, and 2014. But, all things considered, as we wrap up January, where we are today, up 38.22% for Bitcoin. So, resoundingly positive for the crypto king here. And what's coming forward is a bunch of positive developments, and one of those being on the Bitcoin versus money market relative strength chart, 6.5% here. We did reverse back up earlier this month here and are within two boxes of returning to a buy signal on this relative strength relationship. That would be, again, another positive constructive follow through for Bitcoin. That reading will come at around a price for Bitcoin at around $25,000, so around 9 or 10% above current levels where we are now. But with that said, I'll pass it over to Joseph for more on size and styles.
Thanks, Miles. And there were a few changes over this past week as growth continued to move higher, although we haven't seen too many changes here in the Dolly asset class size and style rankings here, with still leadership from mid caps and small value and just value in general. Now, when we look at the asset class group scores page, we do see some changes here. We have all groups scoring above 2.5 now for the first time in quite a while, and all groups scoring above that U.S. money market group. So as Steve touched on, we have seen that U.S. money market percentile rank continue to move downwards to more normalized levels. One thing I would keep in mind, however, is that U.S. money market group still has an average score of 2.5. So given that there's been a large number of groups that have moved higher than it, there's still quite a few that are within striking distance of, if there's a bad week or two or something like that, where money market could, or a lot of those scores could drop below that 2.5 score threshold. We would really like to see this U.S. money market average score start to fall. It's been very resilient here around the 2.5 mark. So that's something to keep an eye on over the next several weeks. Lastly here, I just wanted to look at the Vanguard Value ETF. We've seen growth rally quite a bit. We've talked about that a few times already. Now, just looking at value in and of itself, it's got a 4.12 fund score here, positive score direction. I mean, the trend chart is, I would say, very positive, although it did move to a sell signal here at the end of 2022. We do see this trend staying, pretty well intact here. And again, if you're looking for just value ETFs, this one has a yield of 2.5%, which is, a different picture than the growth side of things. So I think, we've seen growth do quite well on an absolute basis, but we would still give the edge to value. And I still think if you're just looking at the trend chart for a lot of value funds and even stocks, there's still a lot of positives to be seen there. So I wouldn't be, trading out all of your value for growth just yet. I think there's still a lot of positives on that value front. Moving over to U.S. equities and looking at sectors here, we did see a move in financials to third place in Dolly, although that wasn't too much of its own merit. I think that was more due to consumer staples or non-cyclicals losing a few signals to some other sectors, as we'll see here when we look at the Spider Bank ETF, ticker KBE. Poor fund score, 0.71, but really, you know, no changes. It's been in this range for about 6 months now, right at 47.50. Move to 48 would break a triple top and put it back into a positive trend here. So some improvement to look for there if it does get to that price level. And, you know, this is KBE, so the bank ETF. But if we were looking at XLF, which is the broad financial sector ETF, you would see a pretty similar picture that there hasn't been, you know, a ton of improvement to see it, you know, start gaining a ton of buy signals over the past couple of weeks. Earnings have been pretty mixed for the entire sector. Some have been positive, some have been negative, but really nothing overwhelmingly positive or negative to say about the sector right now. One stock to look out for, though, is FactSet Research Systems, ticker FDS. It's a 4-for-5er on a buy signal here. Has a ton of support in this 388, 392, where its positive trend line lies as well. It's trading slightly below the middle of its trading band, but in very actionable territory. So this has been one of the stronger stocks in the sector at a reasonable price point within the trading band, and a lot of support below it here. So one you could definitely consider. And then looking at healthcare, looking at biotech, if you noticed on Steve's slide, biotech was one of the few sectors that had a score of 4.0 or above. In fact, it's at exactly 4.0. We're looking at IBB here, has a fund score of about 3.5. You know, we see a positive score direction of almost 2. So a lot of improvement in this sector. It is actionable right now in the trading band. Weekly or bought or sold reading of 22%. If we're looking at the trend chart here, a lot of construction going on here, constructive movement going on. We were able to break above that 134 level, which proved to be pretty strong resistance throughout most of 2022. We look at it's one box away from moving to another buy signal here. So a lot of positives coming out of the biotech, the biotech space, as well as just healthcare in general, which has held up pretty well through, you know, 2022. We do see some of those larger caps like United Health and Lilly faltering a little bit, but in general, the sector still looks to be, you know, fairly strong. One stock to look out for here is Danaher, 5-for-5er. Had a pretty rough early part of 2022. However, since then, like a lot of the other stocks, has traded sideways in the pretty big range here. Had earnings, was about average, nothing too great, nothing too poor either. But we do, you know, I want to keep an eye on this 280 level here. I think that would be a pretty significant level if we were able to get above it, and you could consider, start to consider adding to this position here. Or if you wanted to play it a little bit more in this range, you could look into the more 245-ish area here where there's a lot of support you could play off of, and as well as it still being a 5-for-5er. So that's one to keep an eye on. You know, it's right in the middle of the trading band, but you are in this range. So you'd like to see a breakout above 280, or, you know, if you want to buy a pullback, you look in those mid 240s area. But with that being said, I'll go ahead and pass it on over to David.
Thanks, Joe. And we'll dive right into consumer cyclical as well as utilities. Within the cyclical space, as we noted, we've seen some continued rally out of this laggard area, but have also seen some continued strength out of the small cap space within this laggard area as PSCD, the Invesco S&P Small Cap Consumer Discretionary ETF, maintains a score above 4 now, well above the group average, and has actually seen some pretty decent chart action here recently after a reversal down. It's now moved back into a column of X's, sitting here at 88, potential second consecutive buy signal coming there at 89, which would complete a bullish catapult. And at this point, that do need to keep an eye on overhead resistance here at 92, but have seen this particular fund within the small caps and especially discretionary small cap space behave well and perform well here as we've seen that laggard area continue to rally. Now, again, we'll need to, as we've noted, we need to see some continued improvement out of that before it becomes leadership. So wouldn't really consider too much exposure at this point, but could be something where you could look to participate in that rally. Now, on the indicator front, we did see the positive trend for consumer cyclical, the move back into bull confirmed status and actually moved to 36%, which is the highest level we've seen since the latter part of 2021 there. And really, at this point, a move above 40% would carry us to the highest level we've seen since the beginning of December of 2021. So continue to monitor there as we've seen some of those charts move back into a positive trend. And on the earnings front, it's been a pretty active week and will only continue to get more active as we go along through the earnings season for the sector. First, looking at D.R. Horton, DHI within the building sector, sort of more towards the home building sector. Still is a 4 for 5er, did report earnings yesterday, has seen a notable fall in sales year over year and continues to note that they have seen rising headwinds due to rising mortgage rates and a decrease in obviously home sales, but continue to meet consensus estimates. We have seen that it reversed down into a column of those today, but we did see a return of to a buy signal here recently. So still maintains that buy signal now reversing down. Keep an eye on the support there at 91, but still maintains actionable even after the earnings call. Additionally, on the earnings front, we do have Tesla reporting after the market closed today. While Tesla has given a string of consecutive buy signals here, with the fourth being recently here at double top here at 138, we still haven't seen enough material technical improvement out of Tesla to really warrant adding exposure to it at this time and really think of it as any more than something that's bouncing out of a very oversold position after it traded down significantly towards the end of the year last year. And at this point, still maintaining that 0 for 5er attribute rating, while it would take from here continued improvement, continued buy signals, and move back into a positive trend to really even potentially look at Tesla from here, other than being a trading stock potentially for the volatility out of it. We really wouldn't look too much like significantly at it, but continue to monitor earnings as they do occur after market close today. One chart that we did want to bring up that's just interesting as far as recent chart developments being Target TGT. It's now a 2 for 5er after moving back into a positive trend this week, breaking that double top there and returning to a buy signal along with moving back into a positive trend yesterday. Now it's reversed down into a column of O's, but and may show the potential of moving into this box here at 160. But at least something noteworthy is we've seen it rally some near-term resistance, not only considering the trend line, but some near-term resistance that dates back to the middle of November. Now, continue to see some resistance that dates back to November as well. They're at 180, but something to keep an eye on for those who may continue to own Target, as we've seen at least some near-term improvement out of it, although generally speaking, still maintains that low attribute rating. Moving on to utilities, not really a whole lot of change within utilities. We saw XLU be the bottom performing spider fund, down almost 2.5% really there, and we've seen continued action lower on the chart as it put this button $68 there. And from that standpoint, we've seen some earnings start within the utility space. Not it's been interesting within the earnings space as NextEra reported today before the market open, and actually reported a earnings surprise with a higher than projected earnings per share. Also noted that revenue was up 22% year over year. But we have seen the stock trade significantly lower. We have seen mostly positive action, haven't seen much negative, but have seen the stock trade notably lower here, reversing down into a column of those, falling down to 77, now testing that bullish support line. Will be worth keeping an eye on as we've seen it give two consecutive sell signals here after coming up to 86 yet again. And really, if it's able to maintain the 4, possibly even 3 higher attribute rating, and as we're able to reverse up, may look to hold here. And possibly even add further on the stock if it's able to maintain that positive attribute rating. So should continue to keep an eye on NextEra as we've seen it trade pretty significantly lower today. But to continue our conversation on sectors, we'll go ahead and pass it on over to Will.
A few things to note for consumer staples and real estate this week. The quickest note is just going to be for real estate. Remains in the basement rankings, still looking for some opportunity, I think, to sell out of that sector as it's continued underway, and you have seen a pretty nice start to the year, as mentioned by John and others so far. I want to focus most of my comments on consumer staples today. As already mentioned, it did slip to fourth in the Dolly sector ranks, a lot of that being due to the just relative weakness from the consumer staples sector. Falling consumer staples traditionally could be a bullish sign for the market, given their naturally defensive tilt. inelastic goods and so forth. So if you actually continue to see consumer non-cyclicals fall in their relative strength rankings, that could turn out to be a bullish sign for the broad market. But right now, sitting in fourth, I think you're far from considering it out of favor by any means. Still maintains sufficient relative strength to at least be an equal weight in a portfolio. Something else to further that point, this is the asset class group scores page graphing the consumer non-cyclicals or consumer staples space versus the consumer staples, versus the consumer cyclicals group. This is their average fund scores. You'll note these, some of these crosses are at pretty pivotal market junctures. So back here, this was December, late December 2021, where non-cyclicals or staples went higher than cyclicals. And if you go back before that, you saw this take place in April of 2020 when cyclicals went above non-cyclicals. So this is an important relationship, and you've seen this recently diverge, or really converge, I guess, coming much more close together, where non-cyclicals are weakening and consumer cyclicals are strengthening. That's different from the August rally, where consumer cyclicals strengthened, but non-cyclicals didn't really weaken at the same time. So this is something to watch. I think a cross here would be notable for the broad market and for the staples group. It's still sitting pretty high, and that cross has not occurred, and it's doing so with pretty high participation within the sector. This is the 10-week for non-cyclicals, so 74% of stocks are still above their 50-day moving average. That's around the highest level we've seen over the past year. And on a short and on a shorter term basis, the weekly distribution is up at 24%. So an exorbitant amount of stocks are still seeing positive absolute action, just not as much as the financial sector or others to keep it in those really top decile rankings. One name to put on your radar is going to be Archer Daniels. They're going to be on deck for earnings. They kind of lead the sector in terms of releasing their results. Still a four attribute name, decently range bound as well, formed a double bottom here. So look out for some support around 81 and 84. On the upside, first buy signal will be at 90. And then your highs that have proven to be pretty challenging to get past are around 98. That's all I had for this week. So Jamie, I'll give it to you now.
I'll keep this pretty brief, as there have not been many changes in the materials or energy sector over the last week. Basic materials remains second in the DALI sector rankings. The fund score for the Select Spider Materials Fund, ticker XLB, still favorable, but still below the average for all funds in the sector. So as we've discussed before, you know, you may want to look outside of XLB when looking to add exposure to the sector. Meanwhile, we continue to see strength out of metals. The Spider S&P Metals and Mining ETF, ticker XME, with a near perfect 5.79 fund score and a positive 3.52 score direction. Meanwhile, looking at the DWA group matrix, we can see steel and precious metals still sitting atop that matrix. Chemicals, forest products, also in the top 10 of the matrix, but clearly, metals, the area of highest relative strength within materials right now. So, you know, if you're looking to kind of target your exposure, I think that's definitely the area you want to focus on, same as we saw last week. Moving on to energy, it remains at the top of the DALI sector rankings. The Select Spider Energy Fund, ticker XLE, roughly flat over the last week. We can see one box away from giving a third consecutive buy signal, which would come with a move to 92. Also, as we saw last week, continuing to see relative strength in equipment and services versus exploration and production. However, we did see the Spider S&P Oil and Gas Exploration and Production ETF return to a positive trend within the last week, give a second consecutive buy signal. So a positive development there. However, if we look at the services and equipment ETF, we can still see has a far superior fund score. So, you know, if you're looking to target your exposure within the energy sector, relative strength still favoring equipment and services over exploration and production, although we have seen some improvement there. So overall, not many changes within these sectors, continuing to see strength out of metals in the material sector, continuing to see strength out of equipment and services in energy. And so I will wrap it up there and pass it over to Miles.
Thanks, Jamie. Yeah, we'll go ahead and start here with communication services. Remains in last place in the Dolly sector rankings, but it did gain around 4 to 5 buy signals over the last 7 days. So encouraging news from there, but again, still remains firmly in underweight status here. With that said, though, as we mentioned throughout the call, communication services, one of the laggards in 2022, one of the leaders so far in 2023 here, up, as you can see from returns perspective, up about 12.5% year to date. With that said, still showcases a subpar 1.29 fund score, but is paired now with a positive just above one score direction. Taking a further look at the chart itself, this week completed a shakeout pattern when it completed that triple top buy signal there at $53, is eking up towards overextended territory. Here, you do have support there offered at $46.50, and then further at the 2022 lows at $45. With that said, though, another pretty constructive move for the communication services sector comes from the positive trend for the communications group here. So measuring the percentage of stocks within the group that lie in positive trends on their default point and figure charts here, reversed back up into X's with this week's action. So while we still do lie a ways away from a buy signal on this chart that would come at $56, we've lied in a column of O's for the better part of about a year and a half now. So we're seeing a bit more of longer term upside participation from the group. Broadly speaking, positive, but again, we're still avoiding as an underweight. One stock to look at within the sector, that being Scholastic Corporation, ticker SCHL, is a 4 for 5 that ranks in the top third of that media sector matrix. And looking at the default chart here, is one of the candidates to return into a positive trend with further upside participation. That would come with the move to $44, move to a perfect 5 for 5 here from a technical attribute perspective. Support is offered there at 36 and 35, so the mid 35s, and then lower at 29 there. Switching gears slightly and moving over into the industrial sector there, firmly in equal weight status, fifth place, earning itself 158 buy signals here. Little changes over the last week from the Spider Select Fund perspective, still scoring above 3.5, but slightly lower than we were last week there at 3.56. No real technical developments in terms of the chart here, still remain in that column of O's back and towards the middle of the trading band. So again, we're in actionable territory considering we are an equal weight here, not a bad entry point for XLI. Another positive positive trend development there. So again, measuring the percentage of stocks within the group that are in positive trends and their default point and figure charts, we are seeing a reading that matches those August 2022 highs at 46% here. So from here, we're going to look to eye probably 50% here would be notable from a psychological perspective for the group. One stock to look out for, Howmet Aerospace, HWM, is a 5 for 5 here, ranks in the top quartile of that aerospace airline matrix at 11 out of 44, and posted 3 consecutive buy signals at all-time highs. Series of higher tops and higher bottoms offer some pretty localized support all the way down to the bullish support line at $33. With that said, that'll wrap up my coverage for today, and I'll toss it over to Ian.
Great. Thank you, Miles. So the broader technology space is saying, certainly seen some upside participation over the course of the past week. We saw that reflected in some of the Dolly buy signal gains. It ticked up a few buy signals over the course of the past week, kind of gaining signals for the first time on a week over week basis in a little while. But haven't seen that lead to any ranking changes. It's a little bit closer to the eighth position there, but still firmly in that ninth position. One kind of interesting point that we did want to touch on within the group scores page, looking at the historical technology group score, you can see we're currently at a group score position of 2.22, kind of bumping up against that 2.39, as well as the kind of 2.3 area, 2.4 area that we initially got to toward the end of March, and then got to again in August. And now we're kind of getting back up toward that level. So it's going to be one area that you can continue to kind of look toward for technology, see if we bump up and reverse lower again, or if we're able to kind of push past that score high. But in looking at the technology versus the broader U.S. equity space, you can see a pretty defined range that we've been below this U.S. equity group for quite a while now, since kind of mid-December, early December of last year, looking at that all U.S. equity diversified. which is quite a long stretch historically. So in looking at the more recent 10 to 15 years, the technology group has not spent very much time at all below this all US equity diversified space. It's gone down and touched it a few times, maybe gone a little bit lower in the 2012 zone, but really just kind of remained above it for most of that time. Quite different than the early 2000s. So in that early 2000s timeframe, we did see the technology group kind of fade off and then rebound, move above briefly, and then fade off again throughout that period. So definitely going to be one thing to kind of continue to note, or at least keep in the back of your head, just because we're pushing back toward that all US token diversified group doesn't mean that we're going to go back to the last 10 years of maintaining strength above that space. So certainly a place to keep in mind and kind of keep up to date with these relative rankings. And looking at some of the different representatives within the tech space, we can look toward that as Invesco Equal Weight Tech ETF, or RYT, is bumping up against a triple top formation, which is also matches up with that bearish resistance line in the current chart position of 265. We're down a few percent at the time of this recording on Wednesday morning. But so it doesn't look like it's going to break through that there, but definitely going to be one point we're continuing to monitor, showing some score improvement, a suitable 3.43 fund score. But in order to get some kind of confirmation for the broader tech space, be good to see that bounce back up above the 270 point. And then diving into some recent earnings moves and some upcoming earnings, kind of wrap up the tech sector coverage. Microsoft reported earlier this week, still 3 for 5 from an attribute perspective, but is in a negative trend. And with following that earnings announcement, is reversing back down into a column of those. We're going to look toward further support around that 220 point, with the further support from there around 216. So kind of two support levels to look toward for there for Microsoft holders. ADP was another name that reported earnings. It's a more favorable 5 for 5 attribute name. It's one of the names we've continued to kind of touch on as a recommended area. We did see a pullback more notably down over 5% after the earnings release. So now bumping up against that bearish resistance line. So still a 5 for 5er. If it does get down and break past that 220 point, would knock it down an attribute ranking and move it back to a sell signal there. So we're looking toward resistance around the 224 to 220 mark. And then some names that are reporting earnings over the course of the next few days are going to be Microsoft and Visa. So first you're looking toward, sorry, not Microsoft, MasterCard, ticker MA, and Visa. So first looking toward MasterCard, this name has been a pretty consistent improver over the course of the past few weeks. Strong 5 for 5 attribute ranking. We're seeing a pullback back down into a column of those around the 376-ish point at the time of this recording, but still looking just kind of like a pullback from the top of the trading band. So definitely going to be a name to look toward on earnings, kind of get a, maybe a little bit of cheaper price, initial support offered there, 364. And then Visa, similar looking picture, just a bit more condensed. We're seeing it a little bit more extended here up around the 232 point, but pulling back more notably here, or down around the 220-ish mark, would revert down into a column of those around the 220 point on this chart. And we see initial support at 204. So with that, that wraps up the technology coverage I was looking to touch on here. So then diving into the international equity space, just a few areas to note here. We're continuing to see EEM, multiple consecutive buy signals back in a positive trend, and in still in a column of X's, but is relatively overbought, 100% overbought ranking. We see some initial support offered around 38, 37, 50 points. So not too much of a change, but definitely want to note that we do have initial support for EEM, which is quite different than we see for EFA. Continues to sit up on that notable stem, continues to sit in overbought territory, yet to pull back from that extended position. So strong fund score, a lot of strength coming from developed market equities, but definitely up on a pretty notable stem that we see there. So we'd get a pullback with a chart position around the 68 mark from here, which would also bring it closer to the middle of its trading band. And then in looking at some country changes, didn't see too many changes to the rankings on the NDW country matrix or country index matrix rankings. So just a couple areas to note. Mexico, we touched on that, moving back into the top position there, picking up 3 spots over the course of the past month. So this Mexico representative from iShares, ticker EWW, has been one of the kind of few names in the international space to move notably above its highs from last year. So a lot of areas are broken out, a lot of areas show sharp downturns. Mexico didn't see as much deterioration as a lot of other areas. It's maintained some strength, and we're seeing a break above the new multi-year highs, though. It's a little bit extended at current levels, now up at the
current position at 58, we get a reversal with a drop down to the 55 range, a very strong fund score, an area that could be looked toward. And then finally, looking toward Ireland, has shown some improvement. It's ticked up 7 spots to go into that second quartile of the rankings. So looking at the iShares MSCI Ireland ETF, so not as heavily traded or as high of AUM as some other areas, but a very strong fund score, a lot of consistent movement. The second largest holding in Ireland is a company called Flutter Entertainment, which is a global gambling company. It's actually the largest stakeholder in FanDuel, a gambling company here in the US. So definitely could be an area to kind of potentially look toward. We're seeing a lot of European soccer going on right now, getting in the heart of the NFL Super Bowl coming up. So could be a name to potentially look toward. You can get exposure toward Flutter via an ADR here in the US, PDYPY. Again, not a heavily traded name, but just something to continue to monitor. A lot of consistent improvement over the course of the past several weeks here. A little bit extended at current levels, but could look toward a position in the mid to upper 70s there. So with that, that wraps up what I was looking to cover on the international side. I'll go ahead and throw things back on over to Jamie.
One notable development in the Dolly fixed income rankings, we did see U.S. preferreds and convertibles move above international debt over the last week, as the rally in U.S. equities has helped strengthen equity correlated segments of the fixed income market. While the group has improved, it still has an unfavorable group score in the asset class group scores, which we'll see a little bit later. Looking at action in yields, after breaking a triple bottom at 3.4% yesterday, the 10-year reversed up. After breaking a triple bottom at 3.4% last week, TNX reversed up yesterday. So at least finding some short-term support there at 3.4%. The Fed will wrap up its February meeting next week. The Fed futures pricing in about a 98% chance of a 25 basis point hike, which would represent another step down. You know, we were at 75 basis points, they stepped down to 50. So assuming that the futures have it priced correctly, we would see another step down to 25 basis points. So, you know, seeing some continued rise in rates from the Fed, but, you know, some relief in the pace, at least, according to what the futures are now pricing in. Not a lot of changes within the overall relative strength picture in fixed income. We did see muni bond single state move above the 3.0 score threshold, joining floating rates as the only other group in that green zone. We have seen some marginal improvement kind of across the market. You see there are now quite a few groups in this yellow zone with scores between 2.5 and 3. A lot more than we saw, you know, just maybe a month or two ago. So, you know, some overall improvement within the fixed income market. Corporate bonds, high yield, all up near the top of the rankings, which I think is a positive sign for the overall state or perception of the economy. You know, high yields, usually one of the groups that really gets punished in a recession. So the fact that we're kind of seeing improvement there really seems to indicate that, you know, fixed income investors aren't pricing in a deep recession. As you know, we would really expect to see yield spreads widen and corporate high yields kind of decline if that were the case. However, you know, the kind of downward movement that we've seen in yields over the last couple of weeks hasn't really been enough to help long duration groups. We can still see fixed income long duration, US government long at the bottom of the rankings. So clearly we're gonna need to see some more downward movement in rates before we really start to see those areas gain in relative strength. Moving on to commodities, they remain third in the Dolly asset class rankings. Not a lot of movement within the space over the last week. Silver remains atop the continuous commodities matrix. Meanwhile, natural gas remains at the bottom, as has been the case for several weeks now. So first taking a look at some energy charts, crude oil returned to a positive trend last week, as we noted on that call. However, it has been unable to break through this resistance here at 82, 83. I really think this is an area that, you know, you want to keep an eye on if you're looking to potentially add exposure to crude oil. I think that's potentially more important than the positive trend change, as we have seen crude stop out at the 82 or 83 mark four or five times, you know, since the beginning of December. So really seeing, you know, some pretty heavy resistance in this range. So really an area to look out for there. Meanwhile, natural gas continues to grind lower. Gave an eighth consecutive sell signal on its 10 cent per box chart last week, reaching new multi-year lows. It is getting down towards heavily oversold territory, about the only positive thing you could say, you know, for potential long exposure, as everything else clearly negative, you know, based on, you know, some mean reversion possible to see a bounce from here. But, you know, the trend clearly negative for natural gas. Meanwhile, moving on to precious metals, we did see silver pull back to around the middle of its trading band, you know, potential entry point for those looking to enter long exposure who may have, you know, kind of missed the boat on silver earlier or late 22. Meanwhile, on the other hand, gold printed an X at 1940 yesterday, now well above the top of its trading band with an overbought, oversold reading north of 114%. So, you know, kind of if you were looking to add exposure to one or the other based on the overbought, oversold reading, you know, I think the positioning definitely more favorable for silver right now, as it has kind of pulled back toward the middle of its trading band, while gold clearly sitting in heavily overbought territory. So overall, you know, not a ton of changes in fixed income this week. You know, I think investors will obviously be paying a lot of attention to what happens with the Fed next week. Not only, you know, the interest rate increase, which I think is all but a given at this point, but, you know, what guidance we get from where they see the future of rates, and when, if at all, we can potentially expect a pivot to potentially lowering rates. Meanwhile, continuing to see the same areas of strength within within commodities. Energy, you know, remains an area of weakness. Precious metals remain an area of strength. And keep an eye out on that 82, 83 level for crude oil, as that seems to be a key level of resistance. So that's all I have for fixed income and commodities, and I will pass it over to John to wrap us up.
Great. Thanks a lot, Jamie. So, you know, right now we're really in the middle of earnings season. We should have a lot of updates over the coming weeks in individual names as they report earnings, and, you know, things move around probably quite a bit. They'll probably move around quite a bit over the next week. We also have some big, you know, announcements coming from the economy and things like that. So we'll be back next week to go over all those and let you know where the strength is moving to.